Second Chronicles 25, we'll start in verse 14, and if you follow along, I shall read down to verse 17. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the... Now watch this, because if you're reading along, you come to a verse like this, it just astounds you that this is happening. That he brought the gods of the children of Seir, that would be the Edomites, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. What would you think, right? And he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand? Isn't that an interesting question? Why would a saved person follow the things of the world? Do you not see what's happening in this world? What would make you want those things? Those things are sending them to hell. Those things are ruining their lives. Why would a saved person want to drink? Why would a saved person want to be involved in drugs? Why would a saved person want to violate his wedding vows? You see the condition of the world. You know where it's going. But yet this is what's happening here. Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice, and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. Now I skipped the part, the first half of 16, I'll go back and read it. And it came to pass, as he talked with them, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? In other words, are you the one supposed to be telling me what to do? And you notice he rejects what the prophet says. Now, when we come to this, and this is another of our bad advice series here, learning from Scripture those who either received or gave or responded to bad advice. So we come here to Amaziah. And Amaziah is the son of Joash, which is a guy we studied the last time we were in this series 2 weeks ago. Now, there's an interesting statement made about these two men. Let's go back to, hold your place in 2 Chronicles, and go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Now, I'm sure you're aware of, 2 Kings, Kings and Chronicles are kind of companion. They're not exactly, there's a reason that there's some things in Kings, not in Chronicles, and vice versa. But a lot that's in one is in the other. So you have the history of Israel in the book of Kings, then the history, and I'm talking about Israel as combined, and the history of Israel in Chronicles. So we go back to 2 Kings chapter 14. So we're going to find this account given again. And in 2 Kings chapter 14, look with me at verse number 1. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehodadan of Jerusalem. And he did that, this is Amaziah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Now, so we read in 2 Kings chapter 14 that Amaziah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But what we just read in Chronicles was not right, correct? Correct? Let me ask you, taking false gods and worshiping, that would not be right in God's eyes, correct? And so what we find, what is stated in in 2 Kings 14, is basically that way he started, because he started just like his father started. Remember, his father started as a young boy, rescued by the priest, and when the high priest was alive, he served the Lord. But when Jehoiada, the high priest, dies, Joash, which is Amaziah's father, departs from the ways of the Lord. And you see a very similar thing here about Amaziah. He starts out doing well, but then he ends up departing. So both of these men, Joash, the guy we studied last time, Amaziah, the guy we're studying this time, both of these men were zealous of serving God in the first part of their reigns. But then They listened to bad advice and fell away from God. Both of these men, both Joash the father, Amaziah the son, both of these men chose to ignore godly advice that rebuked their sin. When their sin was being rebuked, they ignored it. And they were not just ignoring it, they were mad about it. Remember with Joash, Jehoiada is what we think was his grandson, came and rebuked him. And how did Joash respond? Killed him. I would say he was upset about it. And so both of these men, zealous in the first part of the reigns, then they listen to bad advice, fall away from following the Lord. Both of these men are rebuked and ignore the rebuke. Joash, strongly so. And then we haven't seen this, but if you study their life, both men were assassinated by conspirators within their own leadership, their own administration, as it were. So both of these men, both Joash and then later Amaziah, are going to be assassinated by conspirators. Now, that being said, maybe Amaziah's sin, in some ways, is even worse. Because he's following the exact pattern of his father. And he has his father's example to warn him about. So Amaziah's, in some way, his sin is worse because his father's example would have been a warning to him. Now, you ever wonder, why would that be? Why, if you see someone and you're following the same steps and you see how those steps lead and the destruction, why would you follow those steps? Why, if you grew up in a drunkard's home, why would you be a drunkard? But yet it happens often. You follow the same steps. Why, if you see how this destroys a life, why would you follow those steps? Well, I think part of it, is our foolish pride blinds us to consequences. Even though someone right before us made it, even maybe if it wasn't a father, maybe it was a brother, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was someone in church leaves following the Lord, you see how their life is destroyed, their marriage is destroyed, their testimony is destroyed. You would think everyone in the church would say, I'm not going to do that. But yet others would follow that. End up doing the same sin, destroying their life. Why is that? Because our pride, our foolish pride, blinds us to the consequences. Not that we don't see the consequences, but in our mind, somehow, we think we'll be different. I'm smarter, I'm brighter, I'm clever, I'm more worldly wise about it. I will get away with it, but it never ends up that way. You end up in the same pit that those before you fell because of their sin. So I'm going to stress, you are not the exception. You should learn from their mistake. Their mistake wasn't they just weren't clever enough. Their mistake was they sinned against a holy God. And there's no way you can sin against a holy God and think you're going to get away with it. So let's go back now and examine Amaziah's life and look at this bad advice given to him and some things that we can learn from it. Some lessons so that we see what happened to them and we don't follow that pattern. We say, hey, I'm not the exception. And if I do what Joash does and if I do what Amaziah does, I'm going to end up my life destroyed like their life was destroyed. So what can we learn? Well, let's go back to chapter 25. We'll pick up this account again in verse 16. And we're going to jump around a little bit in the chapter and look at it, some things even before what we read. But we'll start in verse 16 tonight again. And let's read verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16, and it came to pass as he talked with him, this is the prophet that warned him, that said, hey, don't be doing this. This is not good. Those gods couldn't deliver the Edomites. Why are you worshiping them? But yet the king ignores him. And it came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? In other words, are you the guy supposed to be, are you my counselor? Hey, are you the one supposed to, did I ask your opinion? Why are you telling me this? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? In other words, keep it up. I'm going to chop your head off, bud. Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Notice the next verse. Then Amaziah king of Judah took advice. Now what just happened? Was he given advice in verse 16, verse 15, verse 16? Was he given advice? Sorry.
Yes, he was, Pastor White. Okay, good.
I need someone to agree with me, okay? Was he just given advice in verse 15 and verse 16?
Yes.
Did he listen to it? No. Is he given advice verse 17? Yes. Is he listening to it? Yes, he is in verse 17. All right, let's have our closing word of prayer. And we're now. Everything rises and falls on leadership. It's all my fault. Okay. Let me try this again. In verse 15 and 16, he's given advice by the prophet. He ignores it. In verse 17, he's given advice probably by his nobles, his counselors. You see this when you talk about the kings, that he's given advice. It's not like some guy on the street just walks up and says, "Hey, king, I think you ought to." It's his cabinet. It's other nobles, other princes, other leadership people who are counseling him. So he's given this advice in verse 17, and he follows it. Now, it's interesting. He rejects the good advice and begins following this advice, which turns out to be very bad advice. So this brings us to a understanding, to a lesson. Number one is this. Ignoring good advice makes you susceptible to bad advice. Because you're going to do one or the other. If you're not listening to good advice, then what's the only other advice you're going to be listening to? Bad advice. You're going to listen. Everyone listens to advice. And I think we'll get to that. Nope, we'll get to it right now. I thought it was in the second point. It is in this point. So everyone listens to something. And if you're not listening to the good, that means you're going to be listening to the bad. No one is their, I'll put in air quotes, own man. Well, I'm just my own man. No one tells me what to do. I do what I want to do. Nuh-uh. Everyone follows someone. You'll see that. People will say, you know what? I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be my own person. Young people are like that. And what do they look like? All the other young people. It's like, I don't think you're your own person. And so we, by our humanity, we're going to listen to someone. We're going to listen to this, or we're going to listen to that. It's not that we're not going to listen to nothing. We're going to listen to something. So we're all impacted and influenced by others. Sometimes in ways we're unaware of. We don't even think about it. We just subconsciously begin, if you walk in a room and it's full of people and they're all whispering like this, no one's talking loud. You know what you'll do? You'll start whispering like, "Hey, what's going on here? I don't know what's happening." It's just, that's a normal reaction. You just respond to what's happening around you. And so everyone is impacted and influenced by others. Sometimes even we don't even know. We're just doing it subconsciously. Now, here's why I'm bringing this out. Think about this statement. Wisdom isn't the separation from all outward influence, but choosing the right influence. Wisdom isn't, I'm not going to listen to anyone, I'm just going to do what I think is best. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is, I'm going to listen to someone, so I better use wisdom to who I'm going to listen to make the right decisions. I better be purposely choosing good advice. So I'll say it again, everyone listens to someone. So therefore, you should choose those, then you should use wisdom in choosing to whom you listen, so that you get the good advice. Now let's just take a moment, because I just want to drive this point home. Go with me, hold your place in 2 Chronicles, go with me to the book of Psalms. The very first Psalm, Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1, one of the more famous Psalms. Blessed is a man that, watch this, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. I'm going to take that first part of that verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know how you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly? This is deep. Ready? Let me tell you, 8 years of college to get this. I'm going to give you the cheat sheet. I'm going to tell you. Ready? You know how you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly? By walking in the counsel of the godly. That's how you walk not in the ungodly counsel, by walking in the godly counsel. That's what makes the separation. If this is the ungodly counsel, and I don't want to walk in it, then I need to walk in the godly counsel. That's how it works. Let's go to another place. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Look with me in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. That means it's out there. It's available. We'll still pick it up in verse 21. She cries in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now watch, look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit, the spirit of wisdom, unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and we won't read the whole thing, but you can read it later. Basically he's saying is, I'm crying out, and if you're foolish or simple, you're unwise, then you need to listen to what I'm saying so you'll be wise. But if you're not going to listen to me, you're going to end up into foolishness and have the consequences of it. Look at verse 29. I know I told you I'd wait, but I'm going to go ahead and show it to you. Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled their own devices. The idea is this. If you're not choosing wisdom, then you're choosing foolishness and the consequences to it. And the only way not to choose the foolishness and consequences is to choose wisdom. So ignoring good advice makes you susceptible to bad advice. It's going to be one or the other. You're not going to live in a vacuum of no advice. Someone's going to be telling you something, and therefore you need to purposely be choosing good advice, or you're going to end up being following bad advice. That's the first lesson. So let's go back now to 2 Chronicles 25. So here's this King Amaziah. He chooses to ignore the good advice. Now he's following bad advice. That's the only other advice coming his way. Now, let's go back and look at verse 16 again. And it came to pass as he talked with him, the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? So basically, are you part of the group that's supposed to be giving me advice? Did I ask for your opinion? Now look at verse 17. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice. Who's he taking advice from? From his counsel. He says to the prophet, are you my counselor? No, these are my counselors. And then he goes to his counselor and gets advice. Now go down to verse 21. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face. Now he's fighting against Israel here. Bad mistake. Both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth-Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel. And they fled, every man, to his tent. Now watch. Number two is this. Advice from those who are ignoring good advice is usually bad advice. Notice there's two groups of counselors here. So there was a group of counselors, his nobles, who were giving him advice. And they're not on the same side as the prophet. Because the prophet is giving him advice and the king's saying, hey, you're not the one. You're not the one telling me this. So obviously the counselors aren't going along with what the prophet is saying either. So now there's this divide here. So the prophet was not the king's counsel, which means that those giving advice were not in harmony with the prophet and thus not in harmony with God. Amaziah's counselors were ignoring God and giving Amaziah different advice. Now, what does that mean for us? Let me ask you two questions. Question number one is this. Why would a child of God ever listen to someone who's not listening to God? If they're not listening to God, why are you listening to them? Well, they're my brother. They're my spouse. They're my kid. They're my grandparent. They're my boss. They're my coworker. They're my neighbor. They're my friend. But they're not listening to God. Why are you listening to them? If they're not listening to God, why do you think they're going to give you good spiritual advice? So Amaziah, here comes the prophet who's giving you good spiritual advice. You're ignoring it. You're listening to this other group. Why do you think that would be good advice when it's not harmonious with what the prophet is saying? And here's the second question. And how do you think that their advice would ever help you? Now, Jesus makes this statement. He said, I did not come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. and I'll paraphrase the rest. He said, I came to basically turn parents against children, children against parents. And again, I'm paraphrasing. Neighbors against neighbors, friends against friends. And not that he purposely wants people not to get along. He's just saying, when you choose Christ, there's going to be division at times. Not because we want division. It's not because we are trying to be, we're not just trying to be hard-headed and can't get along with. We're trying to do what's right. And so if I have family, let's say my brother tries to give me advice that I know is unscriptural, why would I listen to it? If I have a brother who's unsaved, or even if he claims to be saved, but you know by his lifestyle it's ungodly, why would I want to take advice from him? I may not be unkind. I may not say, I'm talking about my younger brother, because he wouldn't do this, but let's just say he would. That's Homer. So why would I go to Homer if he's living a pretty good life, so, and he listens to my sermon, so I got to say all these things so he doesn't call me up and get mad at me. He's a good guy. I would listen to him. Okay, but let's say he was a bad guy and I wouldn't listen to him. And so why would I go to Homer and Homer say, well, you know, you're my brother. You got to listen to me. I don't have to listen to you because you're my brother. I have to listen to you only if it's in harmony with what the Bible says. I'm more concerned about what the Lord wants in my life than what anyone else wants. Now, you may be able to help me. If you can, great. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, why am I listening to you? And how do I think unscriptural advice is going to help me in my spiritual life? So advice from those who are ignoring good advice, biblical advice, scriptural advice, is going to be basically bad advice, usually bad advice. Now, I know the old statement, blind squirrel finds, you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Okay, I understand there are few exceptions. But as a rule, generally speaking, if they're not people who are living for the Lord, you should not be taking advice from them. Like 99.9% of the time. There may be a strange situation that they may just, by luck, get it right. Okay, but why would you chance it even then? So advice from those who are ignoring good advice is usually bad advice. Now, let me apply it slightly different. Because sometimes when we hear statements like this, we go to an extreme that should not go or it's not intended to go. There are those who are not saved, or maybe saved, not living right, who have information that could help me in different areas of life. I'm not going to chop them off information-wise just because they're not saved or not living for the Lord. So a believer, now let me say it this way. A believer may gather information from many sources, even sources that are not actively seeking after God. That's different. Information is different. We're talking about advice. But advice, how to formulate that information into your life, how to use that information, what that information should look like in your particular life, that type of advice should only be from those who are seeking after the Lord. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Maybe it's like financial investments. Someone who's unsaved may have a good financial mind about investments. But I'm not going to listen to them about, I'm not going to turn over my entire stewardship of what the Lord has given to me based on an unsaved guy. Now, he may tell me some good things. He may say, well, you know, you should put so much money in this area and so much money in that area and so much money in here. But I know this, off the top of my income comes 10%. It's called tithe. I don't care what the financial investor thinks. I know what the Bible says. And so my overall understanding comes from Scripture. Now, I may go to an unsaved guy and he may tell me, you know, hey, this is a good way or that. Okay, that's, I'm getting information, but I'm not letting that dictate my behavior. I'm letting the Bible dictate my behavior. It could be other way. Relationships are that way. Health is that way. You can get information from different sources, but the advice of how to make it work in your life, how to apply it to your life, how to formulate those things in your life should only come from scriptural sources. So the what may be the same for everyone in many sources, but the specific how is different when you're talking about believers. So advice from those who are ignoring good advice is usually bad advice. Now, let's go a little bit different. Those are two good basic, I think, lessons. Now, let me give you another lesson. And the next three are slightly different from those. Back to 2 Chronicles 25. And look with me in verse 18. Now, there's an event happening here between Amaziah, king of Judah, and Joash, the king of Israel, which should not be confused with Joash, the father of Amaziah, king of Judah, which is a different Joash. Okay? For whatever reason, they like to name each other themselves. Like, hey, you're this, I'll name my kid your name. And when we put it all in the Bible, no one will know who we're talking about. So you have the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel sometimes had same names at different generations. And you've got to kind of specify, this is not the Joash of Judah, this is the Joash of Israel that we see in verse 18. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt? Thou, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee. Basically, Amaziah had a great victory at Edomites. There's a reason why he's about to pick a fight with Israel, which we'll get into in a moment. In another point, I think. And we'll get to it in a moment. But he just had this great victory. Israel and Judah have always been kind of butting heads. Ever since the kingdom split, there was always been conflict between them. And it was not unusual for them to fight. But there's a reason that they're about to fight here that we'll look at in a moment. But nonetheless, the northern kingdom is, and you'll see in a moment, is a little bit stronger than the southern kingdom. They just had some battles with Syria. They're a pretty good army right now. They're doing pretty well. And Joash basically says, why are you coming up here and causing trouble? You're not as good as you think you are. You better stay down there and behave yourself, because you come up here, I'm going to bloody your nose. It's all in the Hebrew. You got to study. It takes 8 years of college to get that out of it. So he says, you come up here, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bust you in the head. You come up here, you better stay down there and behave yourself. Well, Amaziah says, I'm coming up there, and we're going to see what kind of who's going to get busted in the head. So, that's what happens. Verse 20. But Amaziah would not hear. Now watch, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Amaziah thought he had it all figured out. I just whipped the Edomites. I got this army. We're doing pretty well. I can take care of you. But he left something out of that equation. God. It's not about the size of your army. It's not how good your generals are. It doesn't matter the other army. What matters is what is the Lord doing? So number three is this. No advice can overcome God's plan of action. Now, I want you to consider this, because I can tell you it is legion, the number of believers who've messed up because they think that they're the exception. I can cheat on my spouse and get away with it. I can ignore, I'm not going to read the Bible, I'm not going to pray, I know how to wing it, okay? I can come to church, I can put on the look, I can put on the act, and no one will know the difference. Okay, but you are rotting from the inside spiritually. And it is going to affect you. No amount of education, preparation, or manipulation can overcome what God wants to do, or what God has designed to do, or what God has said He's going to do. You cannot organize your life in such a way that you can violate Scripture and get away with it. It never, ever happens. You're not the exception. When you think about getting counsel or getting advice, counsel is not designed to help you accomplish what you want to do, which is often why we get counsel. How can I do what I want? That's not the purpose of counsel. I'm talking about Bible counsel. Rather, it is designed to help you submit your desires to God's plans. We don't. If you come up with this idea, and how can I get some advice to do what I want, that you're missing the boat. It is, how do I submit my life into God's plan so that God will then bless my life? That's what I need counsel and advice for. So we put it one more way. If your plans do not start with God, then do not be surprised when God fights against your plans. We set up these dominoes just perfect, don't we? I got everything figured out, and God goes, and we're like, man, I never thought that was going to happen. I know. We don't think it ever is going to happen. We think we have it made. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. It's all going to work out. And it doesn't. There's a king. I can't think which king it is. But he had this great plan. He's going to build these boats, and he's going to send them to this place, and they're going to do some trading. He's going to get all this money back. Solomon had done it. Solomon became rich doing it. So he said, I'm going to do the same thing. But he was in league with the Israel king, who was a wicked person, which he shouldn't have done. You know what God did? He sent a storm, and all the ships sunk. Who would have thought? And history is full of those, you know, the great Spanish Armada. The Catholics were going to occupy Britain, England, and bring them back under the Catholic heel. God said, want to bet? All the ships are gone. Who would have thought? God has a plan. And if you fight against His plan, you're going to find that it does not go well for you. So no advice can overcome God's plan of actions. So we want to know what the Lord is doing and then join with the Lord, because the Lord's going to accomplish what the Lord's going to accomplish. Now, let's bring it to another thought about this. Let's go back to chapter 25, and let's back up in this account. And we'll see here in a moment why Amaziah had some issue with the northern kingdom. It's partly his fault, but he has an angst about it. Verse 5, chapter 25. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together. This is, he's getting ready to fight this battle against Edom. And made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the house of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. For whatever reason, that didn't seem to be enough for him. He needed some extra help. So he comes up with this plan. Verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel. Now, Israel this time is a very idolatrous nation. Every time Judah and Israel hooked up, it was always bad for Judah. Not fight, I'm talking about hooking up in some type of league. Again, verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. Then he makes this statement, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. Not that if you go, it means if you go like the way you're going with Israel, it's not going to work. For God hath power to help and to cast down. Now watch what happened in verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, well, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? Can I get my money back? No. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Don't worry about it. You do what's right and let God worry about the outcome here. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. He listens. He listens to the advice. He does what's right. Wherefore their anger, these 100,000 men, was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. The story doesn't end there, but we're going to stop there for this point and pick it up in a moment in the next point. So he has 100,000. They come down. Basically, they're mercenaries. He hires them to join his army. The prophet comes and says, don't do this. God ain't going to bless it. And he's wise and says, okay, I'm going to listen. And I'm going to send them away, and we'll trust the Lord in this. Now, what is the obvious thing that comes to your mind? You listen to them then. Why didn't you listen to them the next time? Because that's how we are as humans. It's not a one time and done. It's not like one sermon, I got life figured out. It's not like one time I obeyed this verse and now I'm taken care of. It's an ongoing thing. So number 4 is this. Listening to good advice is an ongoing need. It's not a one and done. you will never, never physically or spiritually outgrow the need for good advice. Remember, we started this with that phrase, no one is their own man, and that's always true. Now, it may be as you grow spiritually, maybe even physically, it may be that you'll need advice in different areas. That's true. Maybe you don't need advice in the same area all the time. Maybe it's in different areas. But you'll never be free from needing advice. You'll never be in a situation when you can say, well, got it all figured out. Don't need anyone else to tell me what to do. You'll never be there. There's always things that come up that surprise you. Things that you're going to say. It's not just you don't know the thing. Sometimes you may even know what to do. Sometimes here's why advice is good. Because you already know what to do. You just need someone to reinforce it. You're like, yeah, you're right. I've had people say that. They've asked me things, and I said, well, here's what the Bible says. And they said, yeah, I know. I just really didn't want to do it. But you're right. That is the right thing to do. And they do it. And so you're always going to need ongoing throughout your life, maybe not as much, maybe more later, maybe not as much later, maybe different areas. But you'll always need, and you always have this ongoing need for good biblical advice, good biblical counsel. So listening to good advice is an ongoing need. Now let's go back to the story. Look at verse 11. And I'll draw the last point out. So these 100,000 go back. But then notice what happens, verse 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir, this is the Edomites, 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them up unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they were all broken in pieces. But, verse 13, the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go back with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even into Beth Horon and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. Now the way that's written, from Samaria down to Beth Horon, seems to go from a north to a southern direction. Here's what we think happened. It's either, well, there's a couple possibilities. Either the 100,000 men, as they traveled back, started saying, well, why would these mercenaries be so wanting, so desirous to go to battle? You think they say, okay, you can go home. They're like, okay, good, don't have to fight. Why would they want to fight? Because they got not just the money they were being paid to fight, but whatever was taken from the Edomites, they got a share of it, part of the spoils. So they would enrich themselves. That's what mercenaries would do. They would enrich themselves so they would have not just a paycheck, but they would have all this loot to take back with them. They're kind of like rioters in Chicago. They'd have all this loot to take with them. Little inside joke there. And so they would have all this loot they would take, and it's really not that inside. It's pretty well known. So they had all this loot to take with them back to them. But now since they can't go, they got their paycheck. Remember, the king's out the money. But they don't get all the extra spoils. So here's what they decide to do. Then we'll take from you. And either they began spoiling the cities on the way back, but it doesn't seem like, because it says Samaria down to Beth Horon. It doesn't say Beth Horon up to Samaria. So it seems more so that they go back and the king of Israel is like, what? They did what? Because the king of Israel get his cut too. And so he says, well, you know, if the army of Judah is over here fighting, there's no army of Judah to protect them. I can't send my army down because that would be an invasion. But, you know, if you guys went back down there, you know, as the Spirit leads you. So these soldiers go back to these cities and spoil these cities in Judah. Amaziah comes back fighting in Edom. You think he's happy about this? No, he's not too happy about this. And so now he's going to fight Israel. Okay, well, if that's what's going to happen, I'm going to go up there and show you a lesson. And that was the angst between them. It seems like somewhat reasonable, but it wasn't. Let me give you an understanding why. Last point, number 5. Good advice may not prevent the reaping of previous bad decisions. Sometimes people want advice not because they're getting ready to do something, because they're trying to get out of something. That's not necessarily wrong, but you can't necessarily get out of the wrong consequences. Maybe the wrong behavior can change, but you're not necessarily going to get out of the consequences. Amaziah did right. Now, I want you to follow this thinking. Amaziah did right when he sent them away. But his initial wrong in hiring them still had consequences. He should have never hired them to begin with. It is just a cursory study of Kings and Chronicles. It's clear that God always wanted there to be this division between His people and the idolatrous people, which was Israel. They were idolatrous people. From the very beginning, when the kingdom split, the northern kingdom of Israel had bad kings, and they served idols, and they were just people that the good, better, maybe not good, but better nation of Judah shouldn't have been around. And every time they got together, God chastened the southern kingdom somehow. And so Amaziah should have known, if I'm going to go and hire 100,000 soldiers from the north, that's not the right thing to do. It was right for him to send them back, but it didn't stop the initial wrong. Why were these soldiers upset? Because Amaziah hired them. There was an expectation of gain that was spoiled. Okay, I'm not defending what the 100,000 or these mercenaries did, but I'm saying that Amaziah initial wrong brings about a consequence that comes back and haunts him. Watch this statement. Repentance may change our future outcome, but it does not necessarily fix our past choices. Isn't that true of salvation? Here's an alcoholic. Ruins his body. Gets saved. Does he automatically, all of a sudden, get a restored body? No. The sin has consequences. You get involved in drugs, fries your brains, you get saved, glory to God, but you're a saved person with fried brains. Sin has consequences. Salvation isn't this, I'm going to sow all my wild oats, have all my fun, then I'll get saved, and then everything will be all right. Well, I'm all for people getting saved, but if you think the expectation, if your expectation is getting saved is going to fix, it's not going to fix them. There are consequences that will haunt you. That means this when you think about advice. In the context of advice, which is what the Bible study is, good advice should be sought early and often, so we reap from as few bad decisions as possible. I mean, none of us are perfect. I'm not going to say you can somehow engineer your life and never have any bad decisions. That's probably not likely. We're sinners. We get crossways at times. But we should be seeking advice so that there is as few skeletons in the closet, consequences, results of sin, as few as possible. Now, thank God for God's grace, and even in consequences, God is kind and merciful, but nonetheless, there are consequences. You know, you go visit the bus route, you see very clearly the consequences of sin. Now, we want to reach those folks, but it doesn't fix what happened. If it's a single parent, they're still a single parent after they get saved. If it's a home without a dad, it's still a home without a dad, even though those kids come to church. It's so much better to not make the bad decision and escape that consequence. And how do you not make the bad decision? By getting good advice early and often. All right. We see from Joash's and Amaziah's life, as you study both, the dad and the son, that God blessed them when they followed godly advice. It's true in Joash, it's true in Amaziah. We also see from both Joash and Amaziah that God chastened them when they followed bad, ungodly advice. Both of them followed good advice, God blessed them. Both of them followed bad advice, God chastened them. So, we conclude with this then. How sad that believers today fail to heed these examples and continue to suffer unnecessarily.
God's not going to change his mind. It's always going to turn out. God's going to bless obedience. He's going to chasten disobedience. That dynamic never changes. So, we'll say it then this way. God still blesses obedience and chastens disobedience today like he did 2,800 years ago in the life of Joash and Amaziah. So how wise it is then to seek good advice so we make good decisions and get God's blessings. All right, well, let's pray, then we'll be done.